Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. I'm going to read three or four passages of Scripture found first of all in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. Just keep your Bibles open if you would. We'll try not to be too long this morning, but just share what God has laid upon my heart. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1 says, "Then came he," which that's Apostle Paul, "then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." Then over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's go a few books toward Revelation, toward the end of your Bible, give you time to get there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul is writing to Timothy from prison. Paul probably talked as much about Timothy as any companion that traveled with him and worked with him. His conversion took place in the first passage that I read to you. Now look in chapter 1 and verse 5 of 2 Timothy. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Then, if you would, over in chapter 3, two more verses, the 14th and the 15th verse. Paul again writing to Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." This is probably one of the most unusual recordings of a family in the Word of God. In this family, there's three major characters in the three generations that we see. Lois, the grandmother, Eunice, the mother, and Timothy, whose name means one who fears God, the servant of the Lord, and the one that Paul had appointed to do many things in Scripture. Out of all the things the Apostle Paul could have written about Timothy, for some reason he took the time to mention his mother and his grandmother. And he said that this family is different in the respect that I want to ask you a question. Where in the Bible do you find the name of the father of Timothy? It's not in Scripture. He was a Greek, but we don't know anything else about him. His grandmother was a Jew. His mother was a Jew. His father was a Greek. Lystra was in Galatia, a small city there, a small province controlled by Rome. And when Paul gets there, this young disciple, Timothy, begins to follow him. He talks about his mother, he talks about his grandmother, but he never mentions the father. Now, there's a lot of speculation why, but two main reasons they believe why. First of all, either his father was dead. That means his mother was orphaned at a young age, leaving her to raise Timothy by herself. Or his father was unsaved, an unbeliever, but even though he was an unbeliever, he allowed Lois and allowed Eunice to teach Timothy the Scripture. So this is one of the strangest maternal bloodlines that we see in all the New Testament. And it was through their teachings of this godly mother and grandmother that he took time to mention through all of this. Through their teachings, it had made an impact in his life to make him wise unto salvation. Now don't misunderstand what I read. He didn't say that you can learn to be saved. He said you can learn to have faith to be saved. The Scriptures teach us that without faith it's impossible to please God. But here's a mother and a grandmother that without the apparent help of their husbands took this young boy and began to train him and mold him. And God honored the influence of a mother in his life to make him one of the greatest servants that the Apostle Paul had. I think that's a powerful thought. And I'll say this while I'm on the subject. I think a lot of dads are out of the picture in the Christian home today. We honor the mother today. But sad to say, this nation has been shamed with fathers that will not take on their responsibilities, and especially in the spiritual realm, have no activity in their children's life. You may teach them, Dad, how to play baseball, and you may teach them how to study well in school, and you may teach them how to make a lot of money, but the thing that God will bless for all eternity is when you teach them that Jesus loves them. And be the daddy that you ought to be, and the husband that you ought to be, and love your wife, and love your family, and love your children. When you do those things, God will honor that. I see, first of all, the sad fact in this family that there was no present father figure. And by the way, in these years of growing up in the church and for preaching for all of these years, I've noticed something. Father's Day is just about gone. Have you noticed that? Do you know why? Too many daddies are abandoning their babies. Too many daddies say, I want nothing to do in the life of my child. Too many daddies. I know that it's easy to get wrapped up in working and making a living and all those other things. But the truth of the matter is, the mother and the father both have a responsibility. And God's perfect will is for a mom and a dad collectively to raise the child and teach the child the things of the Lord. That's what God wants. But if that doesn't happen, God also says, I will bless the single parent that is trying to do her best to raise her child. Oftentimes, I know that sometimes the man is left with the child. And I can say a lot about the mothers changing. Years ago, it was always the man that ran away. It was always the man that seemed to do what was wrong. But now we see it happening to a lot of mothers also. But for some reason, it was just heavy on my heart down to this week. I thought about the single parents that have such a time in our society today. Our churches are filled with single parents. Single parents that it's tough when they're in those, somebody said it's the terrible twos. Well, I found it the terrible ones and twos and threes and fours. Because sometimes you get them ready, you bring them to church and they cry the whole time. They What time they're not crying, they're fighting. What time you're trying to wrestle with them. And you feel like, I didn't hear a thing. There's no need to come. But you're here. And you're trying to teach them the importance of being in God's house. And God will bless you for that. Church is filled with it. I believe there's really four categories of people in the church that have a tough time raising their children. That we need to help them all that we can. One is that mother or father that has an unsaved companion that has no interest. Now, generally, it's the father that's unsaved. Have you ever noticed that? There's more saved women that come to church with unsaved spouses than vice versa. You say, preacher, why is that? I don't have a clue. I don't know if it's because men seem to be filled with pride or their life is busy and they don't want to take time for God. But oftentimes, there's many, many women that love the Lord with all their heart and serve God with all that's in them. But for some reason, their husband takes no interest in serving God. Now, that's been amazing to me. Because some of the godliest women that I have known through the years have lived a great life in the eyes of the Lord. And were faithful and kept coming. And I couldn't help but Paul's in the middle of preparing for this message and pray for the women that their spouse is not a Christian, that they're trying to do the best they can to raise their children. And let me give you a word of encouragement. Don't be weary in your well-doing.
for ye shall reap in due season if you faint not. And what you're putting in the heart of that child, I wish that your husband was saved. But if your husband's not saved, or if your wife's not saved, you keep doing your best to raise that child and tell your children that God loves them and Jesus died for them and the Lord will save them of their sin. God will honor that. Another group are the widows, and the young widows especially, with children in their home. So hard to see young widows with little ones there. Oftentimes, the income is gone, or a better part of the income is gone. They have to raise the children by themselves. They have the financial burdens. They have the burdens of running the household. Listen, folks, if we want God to bless our church and continue to bless our church, always, always, always pray for and help the widows. If you pray for widows and help widows, if you pray for orphans and help orphans, God will bless you. I had a letter in the office this week from one of the ministers overseas we work with. They have 70 orphans now. 70 orphans living on the floor. No place to sleep. Nowhere to pillow their head. 70 orphans that don't know the comfort of a nice pillow and a nice mattress. I jotted him a note just this weekend going out to him tomorrow by airmail, express mail. And I'm going to tell him how much does it take to raise the money for those mattresses, for those 70 children, under his care. There's orphans all around this world that has nobody. God will bless you for helping the orphans, and God will certainly bless you for taking care of the widows. I would never embarrass our church over anything. A lot of preachers have asked me, what do you think the secret to the growth of Rubyville Church has been? I know one thing. Our deacons and our church and our people have always been benevolent to those in need, especially when children are involved. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of folks in this area that they've helped not because the parents were worthy, but because there were children involved. And another reason is the love and desire to help the orphans. We may not be perfect, but we do our best. I believe with all of my heart, Sister Fay, here this morning in this service, I believe God is well pleased with the way that our church has tried to be faithful to take care of her since God called Wilbur home. Fay, if we've ever done anything to fail you in any way, please forgive us. We've sure done our best to try to. Other churches, you know, the pastor dies in 30 days. His widow gets a notice. You've got to be out. We need a parsonage for some other preacher. But we had no idea how God was working, and our deacons moved by faith and went to the board and said, let's just let her live in the parsonage there. I had no idea God would work it out until I would be honored and graced to follow in the footsteps of such a great man. And we already had a home, so I didn't need a parsonage anyway. See, we can get ahead of God in our thinking if we're not careful. God knows what He's doing, but I believe with all of my heart God has blessed our church because we try to help those that are taking care of children and the widows alike. Another group is the unmarried with children. I hear all the songs. I hear all of the debate. I hear all the rallies saying, we're against abortion. Now stay with me. And the same people that rally for that, if a little old teenage girl goes out and makes a mistake and falls in sin and has a child out of wedlock, turns their back on them and treats them like a second-class citizen. I don't condone wrong that's wrong. But listen, folks. The difference between that young lady and that young man and a lot of people sitting in the pews is they just didn't get caught. Oh, brother. I know it's Mother's Day and I shouldn't be so stern. And don't misunderstand me. I believe that abstinence is scriptural, and that is exactly the way God intended it to be. But I also know this. We serve a God that while He hates sin, He has power to forgive of sin. And the best thing we could do is take that little child in our arms and say, listen, honey, don't only listen to us in the fact that we want you to spare that life, but then we will help you take care of that life and provide for you and do what no one else can do. We want you to know that you're not a cast out, that you're not cast away, that while we do wrong, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is a Father on the throne that has power to take our sin away. And if you're in a place where you're left alone with that child, we promise to do our best to help you raise that child and in the faith of the Lord. You can't have it both ways. The majority of abortions come from unwanted, unplanned pregnancies. Oh, we want the babies. We just don't want the mamas of the babies. Guess what? It's a package deal. You have to minister to the family, the whole family. And while I know that people do wrong, I also know that life comes from God. And when we help life and respect life and care for life, God will bless us. Well, I got 8 or 10 amens anyway. We'll cut those in half right now. We also need to help and lift up those that have gone through a terrible divorce. Left with children. Oh, I hate divorce. It's worse than death. I've sat with enough parents and held their hands enough times by now to tell you with a compassionate heart. See, death, while we don't understand it, death is a final separation. But a lot of times you take a godly person that's living for the Lord and doing their best, and you take somebody else, and all of a sudden in this society that we live in, where it just seems as though love is so cheap and the family is just something you toss away like a candy wrapper. You don't have to hold on to anything anymore. Suddenly mama gets a knock on the door one day and she finds out daddy has left for another woman or vice versa. And here's these little children that they have to take care of. And sad to say, what happens in a case like that, oftentimes people will look down their nose and say, that would never happen to me or mine. Well, thank God that it won't. But that doesn't change the fact that now we have millions upon millions that not because they wanted it, but they are left alone with little children. The other partner has deserted them and divorced them, oftentimes without cause. And that leaves hearts breaking by the millions. Now, if you want to throw me out over it, you throw me out. But I want to take that mama by the hand and tell her, let's raise those children in church and let's trust God. And God will help you with your children, and the church will help you raise your children. I believe God will bless any church that does that. We are a family. And unfortunately, divorce is severing the homes in America today. What an opportunity to minister, show people the real power of God. Think about where we would be if the church had not taken care of some single parents. Fanny J. Crosby's dad died when she was 12 years of age. The church literally saved the life of her mother. And because her mother's life was saved, Fanny J. Crosby penned down some of the greatest songs that we sing almost every service. Hardly a weekend will go by that we won't sing one of Fanny J. Crosby's songs in this church. D.L. Moody, what a preacher, led over 1 million people to the Lord. D.L. Moody, his daddy died when he was 4 years of age. He had an uncle that cared for him and watched out for his mother. His uncle owned a shoe store. In that shoe store, D.L. Moody was witnessed to for the first time by an uncle and a church that loved his mother to help them and provide for them and try to make a way for them to survive in desperate times. And D.L. Moody gave his life to the Lord because the church didn't turn its back on his mother when his father died. Even great people living today, Ann Graham Lotz, is Billy Graham's daughter. Ann Graham Lotz has said several times, everybody knows Billy Graham, but you don't hear a lot about Ruth, his wife. Ann Graham Lotz says she attributes most of the raising in their home to her mother. Her mother is sick, has been confined to a wheelchair for some time. But constantly in her bed, she's surrounded with books, with the Bible, with devotions to help her. She's a prayer warrior. You wonder why Billy Graham's become the man of God that he is? I think it's because of Ruth Graham. Someone said, I don't know about that. I don't agree with a lot of things he says, a lot of things he does. I hear a lot of talk like that. Listen, folks. What's wrong, God will sort out in the end. You trust me. You've got a big enough job taking care of you. All I know is the man has spread the gospel around the world and millions have been saved. So I give God the glory for that. Where do we ever get in our mind anyway? It's the man. It's not the man. It's the message and it's the Messiah that makes the difference. If I'm gone, the message will still be here. The Lord will still be on His throne. I'm saying this to you. There's many, many a great servant of God that the reason that God has blessed them is because of their spouse that was a mother to their children. I'm almost ashamed to say this, but the truth is the truth. I've had very little to do with the actual raising of the children with extracurricular activities and other things in my life. It wasn't that I didn't want to be a part of their life. It's that my wife allowed me to give my life in service to others. Candy, I love you and forever I'll be grateful to you for your prayers and your help. Our kids may not be perfect in your eyes, but I think she's done a pretty good job with them. They're in church and serving the Lord. And what's not right, we pray God will strip the bark off the tree and allow the healing to come. But we've committed them to God. I couldn't go and do what I do if it wasn't for her. Been times that I've gone all day long on her birthday. There's been times I've missed anniversaries, wedding anniversaries, because I was out preaching or in a hospital somewhere or somewhere in a funeral home with a family or there was a death. And not one time has she questioned me. Not one time has she said, you ought to stay home instead. But instead she can say, it's not the day, it's the celebration. We can celebrate my birthday tomorrow or next week or next month. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God will bless the mothers that support those that are trying to help others and reach others. Our deacons in this church, to your wives I will ever be grateful. I've robbed you in the middle of the night and carried you into places that most people in piety would never have said, I'll go with you, preacher, but you went. Our deacons have helped me carry drug addicts down to the hospitals and stood with oftentimes where there was so much heat in the home that you didn't know what you would face. I knew they've stood in harm's way more than once. Their wives let them go and spend endless hours in meetings and trying to do it all to be a blessing to us, this church. For that I'm thankful this morning. Mothers, for your faithfulness, service after service, to give up yourself to the Lord and to be there, I'm thankful. Oh God, I love you. I thank you for the mothers that have influenced our lives. What a family. What a faith. unfeigned faith. That means sincere. How to get that? From hereditary structure in the home. The home was a home of faith. So grandma taught mom, and mom taught Timothy. What a structure. That's why this service is so important to me today. Anytime that I can look and see third and fourth generation. I don't know, is there any mothers here today or families that you have five generations present? I know we have several with four. Think about that, four generations present today. You tell me that you don't make an impact. What you do not only touches your life, but touches those that follow. Cain slew Abel. Why does his blood cry out? He not only slew Abel, he slew his seed. There was no name to be carried on. All the great men and women that could have come from his seed was destroyed with him. What faith. What you put in your children won't end there. It'll carry on and carry on and carry on. Then what a future. Paul said, Timothy, because of your faith, you're going to have a home in heaven. Look how profitable this man was to him. If I looked it up, jotted down correctly, he went on the second and the third missionary journey with the Apostle Paul. He was appointed the first bishop of the church at Ephesus. Paul included him as co-author in at least three books, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And Paul wrote two pastoral addresses to him while he was in prison, 1 and 2 Timothy. The other letters Paul wrote were to churches. Why did he write to Timothy? Because he was honoring Timothy for the faith of his mother and the faith of his grandmother. Do you understand what you do today not only will be honored for your sake, but for your seed's sake? That's why you need to make your mind up this morning to say, I want our family, I want our home to be the home that God blesses. I want our home, our family, to have a future with the Lord. The family never operates any more efficiently than when it operates under the love of God, the grace of God, and in the guidelines of God's Scripture. Word of encouragement if your spouse is unsaved. Don't let the devil tell you that nobody cares. We do care. We don't have the power to save them, but we have the power to pray for them and trust God to speak to their heart.